We are going to be speaking out of the Old Testament. You know, I've actually had people ask me, why do you talk about the Old Testament? Well, you know, there's so much in the New. Why do you talk about in the Old Testament? Well, I'll give you several reasons. One, when Jesus was physically on this earth in a human body, what was the Bible he had? It was the old, what we call the Old Testament. It was the law and the prophets is what they called it. When he went to the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days, I can't imagine what that's like, but when he fasted for 40 days and Satan tempted him in all kinds of ways, in all points as we have been tempted, what did Jesus use except the Word of God? The Word of God. But Jesus defeated Satan out of the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 6, two things, and chapter 8, I believe. And then when you get into the New Testament, especially if you look at 1 Corinthians 10 and read that chapter, you will find that Paul is trying to tell people that, wait a minute, folks, he said the Old Testament. All the things that happened in the Old Testament are examples for us today. Now, he was actually warning them about idolatry and sexual immorality, but not only that, but you can also look at the good things that happened in the Old Testament, and that's for us today as an example. So God does not have respect of persons. There's no shadow of turning in him. So when you read something in the Old Testament, except the parts about where he commanded, now that was for a specific people, where he commanded them to go in and basically obliterate the whole city, wipe them out completely. God is doing everything he did even back then. So I'm going to start by reading Exodus 14. We're going to kind of go verse by verse. And when I read this, and all of us have read it before, but I hope we extract a little bit more than maybe what we normally do. So Exodus 14 and 13 says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still." Now, I don't know about you, but that is hard to do. It's hard to be still when you know trouble is on the horizon. The Lord has just delivered, I mean just delivered, the people from Egypt. And already they see the armies coming and they're arguing with Moses. And I can't believe people would even think this. Here we live by a motto, at least our service, they live by a motto and a creed that liberty or die, right? Liberty or die. That was the founding of our forefathers. We either have liberty or we will die for it. Back then they said, weren't there enough graves back in Egypt? We told you this while we were there, Moses. I'm paraphrasing. We told you what was going to happen. They're coming after us. We're going to die. Weren't there enough graves back there? Wouldn't we have been better off? They actually said that. Wouldn't have we been better off if we'd stayed as a slave, no doubt. Do you recall the Pharaoh was having their male children thrown in the river with the crocodiles? That's how Moses was saved, by the way. When they put him in that little bitty box, ark, and put him in the river and he got rescued. That's because they were killing all the babies, the male babies. They were increasing in number too much to where Pharaoh thought they was going to overrun him. But anyway, God delivers. And Pharaoh's army is after him. And now they see trouble coming over the horizon, just like we do. We see trouble coming sometimes. Sometimes it comes on you way too quick. You don't know it until you sit in a doctor's office and he walks in. When I had that car wreck, I got rear-ended on my way to church, no less. I got rear-ended on a Wednesday night. And my neck was very sore and I went to the hospital. And when you get in there, I had to take an x-ray. The nurse made me put my hands like this, pull my elbows back, and stand very still. And I was quiet, but the tears were just running out my eyes because the pain was so bad. It was so bad. And then she said, okay. She said, I got it. And I put my arms down. Oops, sorry, we need to do another one. I'm like, no, 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 this can't be happening. So I did it again. And then, of course, I stood in front of it, and she had to take a different one. So Duran and I are waiting in the emergency room. You remember that day? Man, doctor comes in, and he has a funny look on his face. He's just like, Mr. Riggs, have you been sick? What's going to go through your mind when you hear that? I said, I'm in a lot of pain. I know that. He says, no. He said, have you been sick recently? I said, not really, no. I feel pretty good other than that. And he still, like, won't hardly look me in the eye. Are you sure you haven't been sick recently? I said, well, I got this nagging cough that just kind of comes back and goes away, comes back, goes away, comes back. And he went, whew, boy, you got walking pneumonia. I had walking pneumonia, both lungs. I think he was going to tell me I had cancer or something. I don't know what he was going to tell me. But the worried look on his face started making a worried look on my face. I thought I was seeing trouble coming over the horizon. What was I going to do? Well, the Hebrew children saw trouble coming over the horizon. So what did Moses tell them? Don't fear. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. And this is the reason, which he will shew to you. He's going to show it to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. I like that. I like this especially. The Lord shall fight for you. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that the Lord will fight for you? Because a lot of times we live our life, oh my, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? What am I going to do? I mean, your brain is just all over the place because we're not trusting enough that the Lord will fight for us. And sometimes we get oppressed and we just don't know how a way out, but we have to stand still. And it says here, and ye shall hold your peace. In other words, none of this is going to come from you. The Lord's going to fight for you, but you're not going to have anything to do with it. And I love those words. Those are encouraging words to me. In fact, it reminds me of this scripture. Psalms, one of my favorites. I hear this quoted a lot. Be still. Who's he talking to? David is talking to us. Himself, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. See, we have to remember this is for the glory of the Lord. There's one place in Psalms that says, let those who love him say, how's it go? May the name of the Lord be magnified. That's what we should pray. May the name of the Lord be magnified in my life, in your life, in each one of the requests that we gave tonight, may the Lord show himself strong and be magnified in their life. So he says, I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord will be this way. And I remember Jerome and I were praying for something very particular and quite a while. And every time she'd want to do or call or go have a conversation, what was it you kept seeing? Be still. Facebook came up on your devotion or something. Something popped up on her phone. And then she was reading her Bible app, and I think it popped up on that. It was like a constant, everyday reminder, be still, be still, be still. And I kept telling her, I said, look, I said, I don't know how the Lord's going to answer. I don't. I just know that he's going to work it out. And I was basically telling her the same thing. Be still. But she didn't want to be still. She wanted to be active. And that's the way we always are. We see trouble coming Or if we think we're already in trouble, we want to be active. We want to fix it. We want to jump in and, Lord, I know you can do anything, but here I am now and I'm going to get in here and I'm going to work on this. And usually we make it worse. I can speak for experience. Usually you make it worse, but sometimes, and many times, the Lord will go ahead and take that. He says, all right, Earl, you've delayed my answer, but I'm going to have to fix it for you. And he does. He does. Continuing on with this same story. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? So here they were crying out. He was crying out to the Lord. And the Lord told him, look, don't be crying to me, Moses. Speak to the children of Israel that they move forward. So here you have Pharaoh's army coming at a breakneck speed, and they're going to try to wipe out the whole defenseless group of Israelites here, and that's what they think is going to happen. But the Lord's telling them to say, start moving forward. And he said, but lift thou up thy rod, so hold up his rod, and stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. This we already know. But this is what caught my attention. And I, behold, will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. In other words, the Lord, you got to think about this. The Lord is the one causing the army to come after the Israelites. I forget that sometimes because I always want to say Pharaoh done it. But the Lord says, I'm going to harden the hearts of the Egyptians, not just Pharaoh. So the Egyptians aren't going to stop. They're going to continue and they shall follow them and I will get me honor. In other words, the Lord, just like we read in Psalm, says, I will be exalted among the heathen and in the earth. You can write that down. You can take it to the bank. The Lord's going to do it. I don't care if you want to get in his way or not. He's going to be exalted. He's going to have his honor. So he said, I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his hosts, upon his chariots. In other words, he's listing all the weapons of war here and upon his horsemen. What did the Israelites have? Nothing. They didn't have no swords, no weapons, no offensive anything. I mean, they couldn't defend themselves. And the Lord says this, and the Egyptians, and dare I say everybody reading this story, not just the Egyptians, all of us, they're examples. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. See, this is what the Lord sometimes will allow us sometimes to be in a situation to where we can't do anything but surrender. I can recall a time to when I finally, over a situation we had been praying for months, and I remember telling Deronda, I said, I just don't see God doing anything. I was so frustrated. I like threw up my hands. And the very next day, he answered in a way that I just couldn't have possibly thought about. And it worked out to all of our good. Everybody I've been praying for, everybody in that situation. And I mean, it was just better than it could have been. And just so you know, I was actually contemplating possibly harming somebody. Remember that, hon? You can find out all kinds of information on Google. Google Maps especially. I knew where this person lived. I knew how to get there. I knew how to get in. And I thought, I'm going to bring my grandson back home. I might go to jail. But I'm going to bring my grandson home. But the Lord answered us, didn't he? In a wonderful way. If only Earl could learn to be still. be still and know that I am God. He's been trying to teach me that for all these years. And I'm a slow learner. Must be a slow learner. I love this part. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel. So stop and think about that. What was it that was leading the Israelites? It was this pillar, this cloud. Okay, it was leading them, showing them the way to go. And he basically took them to a hard stop, right at the sea. So now, I think they must have been, in fact, all the TV shows and movies that they show about it, they were kind of like boxed in between mountains and the sea. That's how I picture it anyway. Otherwise, you might would have seen everybody scattering in all different directions. So somehow they were boxed in, and they were blocked by the sea. But the angel of God, this pillar, this cloud, however it looked, I would have loved to have seen such a thing, which went before the camp of Israel. It says it removed, in other words, he moved, and that's the name of this lesson, by the way, God will move. He removed and went behind them. What was behind them already? It was the Egyptians, riding hard, riding fast, just like in the Old West. Drona can get that. We are so polar opposites. She loves Westerns. I call them bananas, but she loves Bonanza. I call it Gunpoke. She loves Gunsmoke. Some of the others. The one you're watching now, the High Chaparral. She loves that. Which I have to admit, I get caught up in it sometimes too. But yeah, they're riding like the Old West. Here they are riding hard. The horses are coming as hard as they can. I mean, they're going to wipe out the Israelites. So the Lord, or the angel of God in this case, which is the Lord, he removed himself and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face, so he was leading them, brought them to the edge of the water, and now he's moving to get behind them and stood behind them. In other words, he got behind the Israelites. That's why I think they were boxed in. And it said, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians. So here you got the Egyptians on one side, you've got the Israelites on the other. And this pillar came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, to the Egyptians. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night long. I've read that story I don't know how many times, and I've missed that. I don't know how. So the Lord gets in between. Moses is telling them, God will fight for you. Now today for us, okay, it's like, oh, I see that error, but what does that mean for me today? Well, if you can not be like me and learn to be still, whatever is coming your way, God already knows it. He already knows it. He will get between you and the trouble if you just wait on Him. Now, I know sometimes He tells us that we have to move and do something, but sometimes we need to wait on Him to tell us. See, that's where we mess up sometimes. We think we know what we ought to do without consulting the Lord. And this is one of the things that's always fascinated me about David. Because who among us would have done this? David did this. So he's out fighting somewhere, and he comes back to his place. All of his family, all of his children, all of his stuff is gone. And all his mighty men of valor are blaming him. It's your fault, David. We lost our wives, we lost our children, and it's your fault. We were following you, and they were going to kill him. Well, if you would have been like me, I probably would have hightailed it out of there. But David stopped, and he inquired of the Lord. Now think about this. Somebody's kidnapped your wife, kidnapped your children, and you stop and you're going to ask the Lord, shall I go after them? That's what David asked. Shall I go after them? I always wonder, what would he have done if the Lord said no? You got to think about that. You got to think about these things. But the fact that he even took time to stop and ask of the Lord, shall I go after them? The Lord said, yes, you shall. And you shall overtake them and retrieve all the things that was taken from you. And I believe the Lord will do the same for us. I truly do. So here we have the cloud is between the Egyptians and Israel. And it was there all night long. And you might wonder, well, why all night long? Well, Moses had already stretched out his hand. The sea waters were being divided. They walked across the land on, they call it dry shod, on dry ground. Well, the wind and all the things that happened, the Lord caused it to dry up. And it may have taken all night long for that to happen. I don't know. I mean, who could see a miracle like that and then turn their back on the Lord? It's amazing. It's amazing. But I'm going to wrap this up for you right now. So when trouble comes, when trouble is on your doorstep, that's why I sang that song. Why should I fear? And why should I worry? When that very same Jesus, he stays always near. I said the words backwards, didn't I? Didn't rhyme with worry. Why should I worry? Why should I fear when the very same Jesus stays always near? I got to remember that he lives in my heart and he hears me when I cry. And I'll just have to keep calling on him until that storm passes by. And I know everybody in here is facing something. Something. I mean, I heard it in your prayer requests. I heard it in the testimonies of what was happening with those families. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. But we need to learn who has the power. That's why we sang power in the blood. Because I'll tell you what, when I read this scripture here, this is my last scripture. When Jesus resurrected and he talked to the disciples, and Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power. All this just excites me to no end. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so when I read that, I can say for surety that the Lord will fight for me. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for each and every one of us. But we have to be still. We have to trust him. We have to watch and wait for him to speak to us. Shall I go up or shall I do this? Lord, should I do this? Should I make this phone call? You know, wait for the Lord to say yes or say no. Follow his leading. Sometimes it's hard to discern the voice of God. But he sometimes has to wait till you're asleep and speak to you in dreams. Always fascinated me that he spoke to Mary by an angel. He spoke to Zechariah by an angel. But he spoke to Joseph in dreams. Fascinates me. But God, maybe Joseph was like me. He won't shut up long enough for the Lord to get a word in edgewise. And so here I got to be still, because Joseph was contemplating putting her away privately, because he didn't want to, I mean, he thought that she had already cheated on him. Okay, that was Joseph's situation. Thought she had already cheated on him, but he was a just man and he didn't want to see her get stoned. Now, maybe we all would have a heart like that, I don't know. But most people, or a lot of people, would get mad and they want to see the worst come on people. I used to be one of those who would say, boy, I hope so-and-so get what's coming to him. Especially if they've done something to me or my family. Okay, that's what I would say. But now, has anybody in here read the book called The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom? Oh my. Have you read it? The part that got me. It's a very old book. It's about, by the way, have you? Because I've got several of hers on digital form. I hardly buy any paperback books anymore because I'm a techno gadget person. So I was reading that one part in there where they all had to stand out. And the section she was in, it was mostly women. And they were starved. They were worked hard in the concentration camps. And the soldiers had no mercy. They had no mercy. And so if you couldn't produce, or if you were sick or whatnot and you were weak, all the guards would just beat you. They would beat you. And in this particular day, Cor Ten Boom was talking about they were standing out in line and the guards started beating somebody because they were too frail. They couldn't stand up hardly. And so they beat and they beat and they beat. And her sister Betsy says, "Oh, those poor people." And Corey agreed, "Yeah, those poor people." And then Corey gets back to her cell. She said, "Only until I got by myself did I realize Betsy was not talking about the people getting beat. She was talking about the people who were lost. That's who she was worried about." You see, if we belong to Christ, and so if you're not sure where you are tonight in relation to Christ, come to Him first. Be one of His children, and He will fight for you. He will have His honor. He will be glorified. Even sometimes we get in the way. If you would stand. Does anybody need prayer? Or want prayer? I know I talked a long time. All right. If we're all in agreement, we'll be dismissed here. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful, Lord, that You will fight for us. Teach us, Lord, to be still. Teach us, Lord, to have faith. Teach us, Lord, that even if our faith is just as small as a grain of mustard seed, that You will allow us to use it and do mighty things. Mark 16 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." We believe tonight, Lord. We believe. So we look forward, Lord, in the future, that You are going to do mighty things for us, that You will be exalted, that Your honor will be great, and we will be able to see it, not just today, but in the coming days ahead, Lord. God, we give You the praise, we give You the glory, we love You tonight, Lord, and we just ask You that You will bless each and every heart and soul represented here tonight, Lord. Keep us safe until next time. In Jesus' name, amen.